Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Mac Show, the Tech Challenged Edition. I'm Jeff Gammon. I'm your interim host, sitting in for Ewan Rankin. And yeah, it's awesome to be here with all of you, despite the crazy, weird tech issues that I'm having today. And yeah, I'm just going to say I have a feeling that macOS Tall Trees is causing me a bunch of weird, difficult to track down problems, which is just super awesome. It's exactly what you want with an operating system. Exactly. But yeah, that's on me, because I rush in where angels fear to tread, and on launch day for macOS Tall Trees, I of course installed it on my production machine, knowing full well that if you're doing audio, video, live stream stuff, that's a bad idea, because yeah, well, okay, to be fair,
should I tell you that I'm running the macOS beta right now? What is that, 15.1?
Yeah, well, okay, well, thank you for making me feel a little better. I do appreciate that. Yeah.
No, I mean, it's a risk for sure. So, like,
it is. And for those of you keeping track at home, I'm having weird network issues with my Mac. And my Mac seems to think periodically, far too often, that I do not in fact have broadband. And I do not have a gig up and down, but instead I'm like on a nice dial-up connection. Yeah.
Yay.
Anyhow, but enough about my problems. Let's talk about all of your problems. Yeah. Patrice, how are you?
I'm doing well. I'm doing really well. Yeah, been a cool week. I got an Apple Watch and an iPhone this week, so I got my deliveries. Yay! And awesome. Yeah, getting right after, I mean, you know, coming back after a vacation, you have to like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of emails to go through, so I did that.
Right.
Been a busy week, but I made it to the end. And next week I'm traveling, so Lisbon again. And the weather is, we're definitely into fall territory now. So, yeah, it's all over. And I'm nice. Like, I'm appropriately dressed for Oktoberfest, because that started, I think, this week or last week. So, there's that.
You know, I was going to ask, but at the same time, I was concerned that that if I said, hey, are you wearing an Oktoberfest dress?
Yeah, it's a dirndl. Dirndl.
Yeah, and if that wasn't the intent, then have I pissed you off? Because
no, you could never. No.
Okay.
No, it's a dental. Okay. It's hard to tell. I can go back a little bit, maybe. Let's see it. So. Proper dental.
Nice.
Austrian dental.
Nice.
That's actually, it is from Munich. So, well, made in probably whatever, Taiwan, no, Korea or something. Who knows where it's made? Somewhere not in Germany. Yeah, not. I mean, you know, most clothing is made in, like, probably Bangladesh or India or something. Would have to check. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know how that goes. Yeah, but the company is from Munich, so.
That close enough anymore.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of,
yeah. And I'm wearing that especially for today. I just wanted to mention, just for you.
Oh, nice, nice.
Because I'm not going there. Like, sorry.
I missed the Oktoberfest celebration event carnival thing that was here.
Mm-hmm.
It was last weekend,
okay.
And
oh,
I
no.
found out about it too late.
That's too bad. I mean, Oktoberfest should be almost a month. It usually starts, funny enough, in September and goes into October, but it should be at least like 3 weeks. So if it's only a weekend, then they're doing it wrong.
Welcome to the United States.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
Well, another person who looks great in an Oktoberfest dress and really knows how to carry a Stein, Chuck, how are you?
Yeah.
I'm fine. I'm not a big Stein carrier. And
don't like beer?
Okay.
No, your shirt, actually, that pattern would work well on Oktoberfest, I have to say.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Well, I good. I mean, because
I'm missing the Lederhosen, but it's optional.
How do you know, Patrice? And the shorts with suspenders.
Yeah, you would need the suspenders. That's why.
Oh, the suspenders would show. Okay. Yeah, exactly. You never know what's going on down there.
But I mean, that is these days optional. You don't have to.
Let me get ready to do a screenshot.
Yeah, no, we're not screenshotting anything that you could Photoshop, Jeff.
It's not as if we have like recordings of this or something.
Yeah.
Right. And it's not like I can't just take any of the thousands of images of you online pop your head off and put it on someone else's body.
Yeah. I mean, you could probably do do an AI generator. There's enough content of Chuck's online that you could probably just do an AI generator.
The fact that you're both thinking this out this much is deeply disturbing. It's on all levels.
What we're telling is you would look really, really good in Lederhosen. That's what we're saying.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm visualizing it right now.
Mm-hmm.
And
you're definitely the person.
You should
be
more concerned about Dave, who's completely silent and quietly typing the commands into ChatGPT to generate that image.
Good point. Now, Dave would never do that to me because I know where he lives.
I know where he lives.
Into my home.
Yeah, but I mean, yes. By the time you make it to where he lives, he would be long gone.
That's true.
But the explosives I've planted there in the event of an issue like this,
Now,
Jeff, I'm doing good. It's great to be here and be abused by you all.
You know, it's all done with love.
Yeah, I can tell.
Yep. You do remember the safe word, right?
we can't say it here, so.
Well, I'm assuming we'd have to change the rating for the show.
At least. Yes.
Yeah. Speaking of needing to change our rating, Dave, how are you?
I'm doing great. We could be in Florida and experiencing the wonderful Hurricane Helene.
Holy forking shirt balls. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. So I just looking at a place that I visit many times, Madeira Beach, and there's water running down the main drag of that street on Gulf Boulevard, and I was like, oh my god, this is going to be horrible. I mean, that's just the storm surge, not the direct hit that hit up in the panhandle. So, but otherwise, doing great. Glad to be here, and it's Friday.
It is Friday, and speaking of that hurricane, you know this is a bad hurricane because on the Waffle House Index, Waffle Houses are closed.
God, that must be bad.
Yes. Yeah, Waffle
House. You know it's bad.
It's bad.
All right. So for those of you outside the United States
who
have no idea but what I just said, Waffle House is it's a restaurant that like a little diner that stays open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. It does not close. It doesn't matter what the holiday is. It does not close.
Yeah. And it usually doesn't close what the weather. It doesn't matter what the weather is, usually.
Right. And so if Waffle House is closing their store, that's because you have reached a point where whatever the weather event or disaster event is, it's like biblical proportions.
Mm-hmm.
And Waffle Houses have boarded up, and the people are not there. They are closed in Florida. So that being the case, this is a bad storm. And now you understand the Waffle House Index. Yeah. Hey, before we dive into news stories, since all three of you have new iPhones in hand and have been able to play with them for a few days, I would love to get your impressions after 1 week of new iPhone time. So what do you like? What do you not like? Hit me.
No, we're not going to hit you.
All right, spank me. No, wait. Fill me in
Oh.
with the deets.
Okay, I'm going to go for the deets before he goes to something worse. So the truth is, I haven't had that much time to play with all of it because I was in meetings all week. That said, I really am impressed by the whole camera control thing. Jeff, you and I suffer from the same problem that we're both left-handed, and this is clearly designed, I think, a bit more for right-handers. So I'm trying to adjust to that. Other than that, this is, it feels really good. I've had no problems during the upgrade process. It was super smooth, and I'm loving everything. I'm getting used to the new Photos app. That's taking a little bit, but that's more iOS 18 as opposed to the phone itself. It's one of those things. I think for me, the biggest issue has been the fact that there were no issues with the transition. That I decided this time to go phone to phone as opposed to going through iCloud. And it took a
I
little
did
bit
that.
longer. Yeah, but my recollection of the last time that I went to iCloud is that then I had to go in and re-download all my podcasts that, the settings all synced up, but I still had to hit that other button. Going phone to phone, everything transferred over and it was seamless. So
Sure.
I just, went away for a little while, came back, picked up the new phone, and that was it.
That's how it should be.
Yeah, I did the same
Exactly.
thing. I literally did the same thing, phone to phone. I usually do phone to phone. It's just like iCloud is not that, it is not that much faster usually. And as you said, like it doesn't transfer everything. And like I was working, so I didn't need my phone for like an hour. So I just left it next to me while I was working, and then it finished. So easy peasy.
Nice.
Well, I did phone to iCloud again because I feel that it takes forever to do phone to phone. I've had that experience where I've had to let it sit for an hour and a half, and
No, it took
actually
like
it was
30
quite.
minutes, so it was quite quick.
Yeah, sometimes it will take up to an hour for me. But I had a good experience with iCloud. Everything pretty much restored the way it should. I had to send things back in. The only thing I did discover is I had way too many devices registered at work.
Same.
I accounts added, so I had to
I
have
had
someone to get into Azure to start deleting them all because I don't need anymore. So I got that registered. But beyond that, it was a good experience. The only thing I am unhappy with, and I know Apple is working on it, is the fact that there's some slowness and touch problems on the screen.
Yeah, I've noticed that
And
too.
you're on beta, I'm sure you're not experienced
No,
that.
I have the
But
same thing. I think it's a universal
even with
thing.
beta?
Yeah, even with the beta. Yeah,
Okay,
maybe
so
the fix will come faster to the beta, who knows, but currently it's
yeah,
happening.
I think 18.0.1 is supposed to be like it's internally being tested now. So I
Maybe
reported
too.
that last night on InTouch iOS. So I'm hoping that is. But yeah, the camera control, I'm finding that sensitivity isn't set right. I'm gonna start playing around with that some more. Jeff and I are doing a presentation tomorrow at our local Apple user group here, actually here in Chicago,
Nice.
and we're gonna talk a little bit more in depth about this as far as that goes. But yeah, going in and just kind of tweaking some of the settings and accessibility of this button is gonna be a key thing, because I'm noticing it now that even when I touch, just you're supposed to be able to tap it to get into the controls. It doesn't seem to do it all the time without setting the sensitivity. But Control Center, I'm loving that too. I think that I want to go more in depth with that, with being able to add multiple pages and having access to things, making buttons bigger that you use a lot, and all that stuff. But overall, I mean, I think the screen is absolutely crystal clear. And just looking at the 15 Pro Max versus this one, definitely notice difference. And then when the screen does work, it's so much smoother, and you can tell based on the RAM that this now has that it is a lot more zippier, and it does have a You definitely notice the difference in the performance.
Hey Dave, can you elaborate on the touchscreen issue? Because I've read the articles. I can't say that I've experienced it
Not
unless I
everybody
was
is. Yeah.
experienced it and didn't know it. And so, I mean, what is
Well,
it that you
it, what was
expect you?
happening? What's happening is, and then I've done resets. So I do it a hard reset. I would do a hard reset, and it seems to clear up for a while. I'd be just starting to tap an app, and it just would stall. You wouldn't be able, then you wouldn't be able to tap anything at
Yes.
all.
I
And
For me, it even happened during the setup. It stalled during the setup. I could not go past, I think I had, I don't remember, I think it was either Apple ID or one of those screens. I could, no, yeah, exactly, Apple. No, it was the SOS screen, the next button, completely stalled, and I had to completely restart the onboarding process. I had to reboot the phone and restart it because it just completely stalled on that page.
Well,
Yeah, so that there's
I mean,
definitely some bug.
I also noticed another bug. I mean, I'm sure you might not be able to see it, but I always have the, I have the battery widget on here, and I was noticing times like I would go back to the screen and all of a sudden it would be black, and then it would come back,
Yeah, but
maybe
that might be more an iOS
whatever.
18 issue and not a iPhone issue.
Yeah, well, it just seemed kind of coincidental, along with so hard to navigate.
No, but like sometimes you're on the screen, some buttons work and like some others you tap and nothing happens. Like I've had that, like the bottom, like whatever, there's a button on the bottom that works, but the back button up top you can tap as many times as you want, it's just nothing. Stuff like that. And it's random. Like it works and it stops and yeah. But if you don't have it, I mean that's great. And we know that it's not everybody.
That would be
That's
so
interesting.
annoying.
I have not had any issue at all with that, and
That's good.
I've been
Yeah, you
using
got
the
lucky.
phone quite a bit, and so maybe, I mean, well, Patrice, I guess what I was about to ask, you just discounted the fact that it's not maybe just a particular app or apps that are doing it.
No,
It's
it's across the board. Even I have had even it on the whole, on Springboard on the home screen. It happened.
Wow.
Well,
Yeah.
overall, I'm pleased with it. I'm getting used to iOS 18. There's obviously some changes, and things are in different places. When you're doing Apple Pay, and you want to, I sometimes change different credit cards. Like I don't want to use my Apple card. I want to use my debit card. You used to be able to just tap the, be able to tap the card and it would switch it. Now you have to go down below it, and just muscle memory.
Yeah.
Use that change.
Yep. I noticed that with iOS 18 as well. And there was a weird problem with Apple Pay on Apple Watch, at least on some models with watchOS 10, where when you would choose which card you're going to use to pay on the watch, as you'd move your wrist over in place to actually make the transaction happen, you'd switch cards.
Oh, I've had that happen, yeah. I think
And
Digital Crown might be a culprit there.
yeah, and yeah, but what that trained me to do was stop using Apple Pay on my watch.
I don't.
Oh no, I
And
can't do that.
no,
I'd
that's not an
love to get on
option.
the watch.
And well, I mean, it sucked because after. Yeah, I would prefer to use my watch all the time for that, but after several times of using the wrong card to pay for something, it was like, yeah, I can't do that. And so then, I got into the muscle memory of choosing the card that I want on my phone. And yes, so Dave, I've noticed that too, the difference in how you pick the card that you're planning to use. And I mean, it's not a big deal, but I'm
Well,
having
it's just
to retrain
muscle
muscle
memory.
memory. Yep. Now, I did go and play with the iPhone 16 at the Apple Store in Boulder so that I could decide, is it really time to get a new phone? I think the answer is yes.
Yeah, I mean, you have a
And
12, right, or something like that. Yeah,
yep, I have a
okay.
12 Pro. When I get a new phone, which one do I get? And the answer for me, I believe, is the 16 Pro.
And color?
And
Sand?
You know, honestly, I will get the color that's in stock when I go in the store.
Okay. Well,
you can have a case
fair
of
point.
And then I'll get a clear Spigen case unless I decide, oh,
Mm-hmm.
I don't like the color.
Mm.
And then I'll put a colored Spigen case on it. But yeah, after seeing the colors in person, that sand is actually really nice.
Yeah, I was actually surprised because, you know, on the website it always looked kind of weird and gray and whatever. So I thought, eh. But I mean, I would still like to have my pink phone, but it is actually in certain lighting conditions, it has a slightly pink tint, so I'm okay with that. It might just be the LED lights here, but like a little, tiny little bit. Mostly it's gold. It looks literally like sand, so actually I like that.
Yeah,
So.
they named the color correctly
Yeah, this
because
time.
it does look like sand.
Yeah, this time. Like.
The colors on the Not Pro models, I think, are much better across the board.
Yes. Yeah, great.
But I was super impressed with the camera and the 5x
Mm-hmm.
zoom. And the screen quality, if you've been upgrading phones along the way, you probably haven't noticed that much of a change. But if you hold
I
an
have.
iPhone 12 Pro next to a 16 Pro, you can see the difference. And they're both OLED screens, but you can see the difference.
Yeah, even I mean that was the surprising thing for me because I have the 15 Pro Max and I have the 16 Pro Max and like side by side, you can tell the difference in the screen and the quality of the screen. In I mean the size not so much actually. You do see it side by side that it is slightly bigger, but it's not that much. But the quality of the screen, you see the difference, and it's crazy. Also the camera quality. I mean the 15
Oh,
Pro
man.
Max has a really good
The
camera,
camera quality, yes.
but. There is a difference between the 15 Pro Max and the 15 Pro, 16 Pro Max in the camera quality, and that was surprising because I did not expect it. I mean, other than the obvious 12 megapixel, the 48 megapixel thing, which I mean that is obvious, but even on the normal camera, there is an improvement in quality. That I found surprising.
The question.
Yeah, and now I was not surprised with the far superior quality when I was in the Apple Store comparing photos with my iPhone 12
Yeah,
Pro
I mean that
and the
makes sense.
16 Pro.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's a 4-year-old phone, right? Something like that.
Yeah, but holy crap, I mean, those photos are really nice. The camera button, what I did when I was experimenting was I took the phone and rotated it 180 degrees so the camera button's on the bottom, which meant that I'm controlling it with my thumb instead of my index finger.
Works.
And it works just like it should. The stuff that you see in the little pop-up menu when you touch the camera button, it's right reading, so doesn't matter which way you hold the phone, everything is right side up, which is great. And I messed around with the button for a little while and ultimately felt like this was not a necessary addition to the phone because I already could use the volume buttons as shutter controls. And to do things with the camera button, to get to the other controls, I'm still having to tap the screen anyhow. And I
Here,
just, I mean, having a dedicated shutter button, okay, that's cool. But at the same time, I wasn't feeling like the value that Apple is telling us is in this button was actually really there. Like
I
I
disagree
didn't
with
I
you.
tried zooming with it and immediately it was like, no, this is doing this is giving me very coarse control over zoom. I want to be able to zoom to 5x and stop because I want the optical zoom on this. And the only way I could actually consistently hit 5x was to tap on screen. So I found that I was spending as much time tapping on screen as I was before. And now, granted, I was playing with this for like half an hour. So maybe over time, I would find more value in that button. But with my experience in the store, the camera button wasn't all that in a bag of chips.
So I have to disagree with you for multiple reasons. One, I think it is convenient to have access to that. Is it as smooth as it could be? No, there's limitations. But here's one area that I think you're missing. Third,
Okay.
any kind of third-party app. The problem with what Apple did with the volume button was that was kind of a hack. You broke the volume control in favor of camera control. And Apple did that. I still don't know why, or I think it was even a third-party app who first introduced it. They found a way to do that, and it worked, and so that kept
That
getting
sounds
around.
really familiar.
But Apple already started disabling that, and that third parties couldn't do that because it was an unsupported feature. But the official camera app was still using it. And that caused in the EU some stirring for a good reason, that they said, well, the official camera app can do that and third parties can't. This is the solution for that. Because
Okay.
now you don't break the volume button. The volume button still works for volume, but you still have the dedicated shutter button that you need in third-party apps. And I'm pretty sure
That's
in the Photos app, it will go away, the volume thing.
okay. That's a legit argument right there. And if Apple does take away the ability to use volume controls for shutter, then having the camera button with the way we all use our phones today, in that scenario, it does make sense to have the button. And yet, I expect at least initially, when I do get a 16 Pro, that the camera button for me will be little more than the button that I push to initiate the camera app, whichever camera app I'm using, and to be a shutter control and everything else, I'll still be tapping on the screen.
By the way, for me, it's quite fine-grained. I can go like to exactly. I can go to 2.1 if I want to. Like it's quite fine. So I don't know what you have.
Well, my problem, and I'm fully willing to accept that the problem is me and not the
You
phone.
know, what does Ian always say? The squishy bits. That's always the problem.
Yes, the squishy bag of mostly water may very well be the true issue here.
But is it perfect? No, by no means. Like there's for sure things. The screen is definitely more powerful in some cases because it can only do so many things.
I've it's been interesting. I don't think you've addressed one thing that I've read a couple of places, and it feels like it that they're trying to give you a little bit more of a DSLR experience, that you're trying to have that kind of I mean, Jeff, you said you feel like it's course control, and I think they're trying to give it you I think they're trying to give you even better control after you get used to it. I mean, because if you've ever used a DSLR, you hit that zoom switch and it's whoa, and zooms in and zooms out. You have to learn how to do it. And I feel like that's where we are now. Because I kind of agree with you. I've gotten over being a digital zoom snob, because the pictures are so good. I don't, for something really important, I really don't want to go past the optical zoom. But the digital doesn't bother me as much, and so I think we're technology people, and we know that digital zooms are bad, or at least they have been in the
They
past. And
used to
now,
be, not these days.
yeah,
At
maybe not
least
so
not
much now.
between 0.5 and 5, because that's the range where you're still using the optical zoom and just basically
Right.
taking a
I
different
mean,
frame.
because I used to watch people, especially. Well, I'm sorry, but especially the Android people, they would take and pinch and zoom into something and then take the picture, and it's like, oh God, please don't do that.
It's like
And
20x.
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And then they'd wonder why their pictures were not, what they thought they should be. And so, I want to play with it more to pass some of those judgments, but I feel obligated to just point out that I think that with more time, I'm going to like it. I think you're going to like it better. I think I'm going to like it better.
There's
the
a
whole left-hand, right-hand thing, that's another matter. That's just something Jeff and I have to deal with.
Yeah.
Yep, but at least Apple did do something so that you can use that left-handed. You're just using your thumb and your left-handed instead of your next finger and your right hand.
Yeah. There's a secondary thing that for some people it's a good thing. Other people I've heard complain about it. If you press and hold the shutter button, it starts recording video, which is when you're out and about or you have kids is super important. Like your kid is doing something cute and you want to record it. And by the time you fumble through and switch to video and start at the video, it's over. This way, you literally press, hold, and it starts. It's literally recording right now. So I had to do nothing for that. And when I release, it stops. So that is really good. For the people who need that. I have heard other people who would like to disable that because they would like to have that instead do like a burst photo, which Apple could enable.
That would actually be really useful. Yeah. I mean, I do like the idea that that I can just have my phone. It can be locked, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I just grab it and I'm pushing on the camera button and I'm taking photos or video.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you press it, it enables the camera. And if you press and hold, it does video automatically.
Yeah. So, I mean, that is very cool. And I can see where being able to like instantly capture video, but the scenario you described is perfect. You've got your kids, your nieces, your nephews, whoever.
Yeah. Or you're out on an event somewhere, someone is doing like some juggling act or whatever, and you want to record it and you don't want to cut, like I said, by the time you get to that, half of it is over. Like, so it has to be quick. That's why, like, some photographers, they have, like, four cameras with them because they don't want to switch lenses in between. They're like, okay, I need this, I need that, like, just as fast as possible.
Flip to the next camera. And
yeah, exactly. So the same for similar reason, at least.
All right, so what I'm hearing is that when I get my iPhone 16 Pro and I get used to using the camera button, there's going to be a lot more videos of my cat.
Yes. And I would really like to see that.
It's I wish I could have gotten. Yeah, I wish I could have gotten a video of my cat a couple of days ago. You remember a while ago I did my cool thing. My pick was this. It's like I don't know, like not quite a meter across, big donut thing. Your cat can go in and play inside. Okay, she loves that thing so much. And I wish I could have gotten a video of her when she was doing the zoomy thing where she'd run across like from the entry door through the kitchen across the living room and just shoot into that thing. The whole thing would shake and then she'd be like attacking something inside and it would just be shaking and then she'd shoot out and it was just stupid, silly, funny, and of course for me incredibly cute, and when I realized I need a video of this by the time even though there's a camera button right on screen by the time I had my camera ready to take a video she was done.
That's the point.
Ruining up my ability to post content.
All right. By the way, spatial. So, I tell you, spatial, because I have a Vision Pro. If you have a Vision Pro, if you're planning at any point in the future to get one, panoramas and spatial videos are you should take right now because you will appreciate every single thing you have.
That's actually good to know. Yeah, and when you take a spatial photo, you also have a regular flat photo.
Yes, and you can also see it somewhat in spatial on your phone. It's not the same, but you can see it. Yeah. Highly recommend.
Cool. All right. Well, thank you for sharing all that. And I want to point out that that Dave is so incredibly generous. He lets us crib from the In Touch with iOS show notes so that we always have content.
I don't know.
Yeah, so thank you for that, Dave.
Anytime.
And yet, instead of jumping into one of the stories that you had for In Touch with iOS, I found a story this morning that I'm bringing. And Dave, I was thinking of you when I found this story, and Patrice, it
Uh-oh.
applies to you as well. And Chuck, because we're still chipping away at your resolve, and that we're going to get you to buy a Vision Pro. This one's special for you too. And this comes from my favorite analyst, who can't get it right, but everyone thinks he
Ming Chi
does.
Poo.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Ming Chi Koo. And yep, I'm going to give everyone a quick spoiler. If you're watching live, Patrice in our live chat just dropped a link for a potential story for us to talk about. And here's the spoiler. That's actually what we were going to talk about next.
Yeah, that's
Yeah.
sad.
Good. Yeah, but
But
that
first,
Vision
we're talking
Pro.
about Vision Pro
Vision Pro.
and Ming Chi Koo's report saying that a new
Saying
Vision
the obvious
Pro,
thing.
saying the obvious thing. Yeah. A new Vision Pro is on the way. It will have an M5 chip, and it will support Apple Intelligence. And this new model of Apple Vision Pro is supposed to go in production in the second half of next year. So it would be
Probably
2025.
26. Yeah, but it will ship 2026 if it goes into
Yeah, and
production.
then ship 2026 is my assumption.
I mean,
Yes.
all I can say about this is duh. Because, of course,
Duh.
Apple has already locked in the next Vision Pro. They know what the next M series chip is. Yes, of course, it will support. Actually, I'm pretty sure even the current version of Vision Pro will support some level of Apple Intelligence. And of course, everything Apple does from now on will support Apple Intelligence. So there's absolutely nothing new in it. And 2026 sounds about right. So nothing. I mean, it just confirms everything I think everybody can guess.
Yep.
I mean,
And
confirms in air quotes. And I'm using confirms in air quotes, of course. Like there's zero
yeah, I mean, keep in
confirmation. It's
mind,
just stating the obvious, basically.
yeah, it's even Ming Chi Koo will occasionally be right.
Yes, I could be
And
right on this one without even trying. So,
right. I mean, I could have made this prediction without having any, and I have to use my finger quotes for that, my air quotes, insider knowledge.
Yeah, and then all you have to do is late 2025, you post another article saying, "Oh,
It's
there's
delayed.
production delays." It's like okay. Done. Yeah, I'm excited. I mean, I'm excited. I had a really good discussion on InSpace the other day with some people like from all over the world about next generation, what's coming in Vision Pro. And I stated basically what they said here, or what Ming Chi Kuo said here. Some people were thinking will be no Vision Pro and they will abandon it, and I'm like, no, they've already locked in the hardware. They already this is the normal cadence. They're gonna work on probably splitting up the line, like they did on the iPhone, like they did on the Mac, like they basically did even on the Apple Watch. Like there's gonna be a pro line and a non-pro line at some point. They're already working on all of that. There was no change of, oh, Vision Pro is not selling, which funny enough, the other day I read someone else said, no, it's actually selling more than Apple thought. So what is it now? Who knows? Nobody does. It's
Yeah,
like,
Apple knows, but they're
yeah,
not
Apple doesn't know.
saying.
They're not gonna tell you. No. So yeah, of course they're working on that. Of course there will be some new version in, yeah, probably 2025 sounds about right. They released it this year, probably give them next year to finalize it. And I mean, yeah, M6 will be the one. It could be an M, sorry, M5. It could be an M4, but it's probably M5.
And I'm with you. I think M5 makes more sense
Yeah.
because of the time frames we're looking at.
Yeah.
And
The whole reason the current version has an M2 versus an M3 is the hardware was ready almost 2 years ago, and the software was not. Yeah, we
Yeah,
have that from pretty
so
reliable insider sources at Apple, even not like Ming Chi Kuo, that the hardware was ready late 22, but the software took until mid 23 to even be presentable. Which is also nothing new. I know software. Like, always works that way.
That's how it works. And the price point of the new model mm-hmm. will be about the same as the price point of the current model.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's part of the Ming-Chi Kuo prediction as yeah. well. This is not a prediction. This is what Apple does.
Yeah, Apple is super. I mean, that one of the things about Apple these days is Apple is relatively predictable when it comes to hardware to releases or hardware that they. That they've been doing at least one version of or a couple of years of, or I mean, these days it's probably everything. You can roughly predict when they're going to release what and what's going to cost, like plus or minus a little bit. Like, could it be $100, $200 more? Could there be an extra option that costs more? Yes, but you can predict what they're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
For better or worse.
All right. So here's the other part of Ming-Chi Kuo's prediction.
Mm-hmm.
He's saying the second gen version of Vision Pro will offer, and this is a quote, the best Apple Intelligence user experience.
Yeah, I could see that. It would make sense. I mean, think about it. The Vision Pro is a device that doesn't have really any other good input method. Like on the phone, you have a keyboard you can type. On a Mac, you have a keyboard and a trackpad you can type. I mean, a phone even if you finger. There's really good other input methods that lets you get things done very efficiently. The Vision Pro, while you can connect a keyboard, it is very inconvenient to do so, other than if you're connecting to like virtual display. So anything you can do in Vision Pro where it's easy to generate text, it's easy to generate whatever, images, improve your efficiency as a user, which is what Apple Intelligence is doing, will be a massive boost to that device. Because as I said, anybody who's used it, typing text is painful unless you have a keyboard. It mm-hmm. works. You can do it. You can dictate. It works. But dictation is kind of going in the direction of Apple Intelligence. Yeah, it is. It is really painful.
You're doing.
Yeah, it is. I mean, one letter at a time you have to type. Look at it, pinch and type it. It's super slow.
Yeah, for those of you that are listening and not watching, yeah. Dave was showing us how you type on Vision Pro.
Yeah.
And it's great because... it looked like he's trying to pinch flies out of there.
Or he's having a stroke. I don't know.
I was wondering. I'm a little worried there for a second. Thank you for clarifying.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. No, it's as I said, it is for what it is quite good, but it's not something where you want to type your next book on or even type a longer email or whatever. Like it's just short message you can do. Even dictation. I run into a million issues with dictation where it doesn't know the word and then doesn't spell it correctly and then you have to go and fix it and that's a pain to do. Like, all of that. And so, Apple Intelligence.
Sharice, you've had it since it came out, where I've only had it for about 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
One of the big things I couldn't figure out was the control center, trying to get into the control center.
Yeah,
because you have to actually.
Yeah, but Vision OS 2, you can do it now.
Yeah, in OS 2, you can now, but I still couldn't figure it out. Mm-hmm. And I'm going, turning my hand back to the. I'm going like this, I'm moving around. I'm finally getting used to the fact that you just move your eyes, don't move
mm-hmm.
your head
mm-hmm.
To get where you need to go.
Yeah.
So I just hold my hand up. To my right and look at my palm, but I move my eyes to look at my palm, and it's like, oh, there's the clock, the little icon.
Yeah. And then you turn it around.
And I twist my hand out and then grab it, and then it brings it to the boom, boom, then you're in the control center.
Yes.
But same thing with getting used to, I wasn't getting used to the fact that, same thing with your eyes, you're moving your eyes around.
Oh, yeah. So many people who move their head all the time, I'm like, you just need your eyes.
The whole time. Just like when I'm putting in my passcode, I can look at the numbers, look at whatever number, and then I'm looking again, and then tap it.
Yeah. And the first time is super painful and takes forever. Like when you're setting up the passcode or whatever, it takes forever. And the next couple of times, you're still struggling to enter it correctly. And then eventually, you're like, tick, 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 done.
Well, at least now it has the vision ID.
Oh no, the optic ID was also in the previous version. It had that. Yeah, but when you have that kind of like with the Mac, when you first time you boot it up, basically, or whenever when it was disconnected from power and you have to be booted it up, you have to put in the PIN code. So.
All right, so then how long before people start reporting eyeball RSI issues?
You rolled your eyes too much. That's what you're saying.
Yeah.
I mean, that could happen with all the news out there, but you don't need an Apple Vision Pro for that.
That's true. Yeah, you don't need to have Vision Pro to get eyeball RSI.
Yeah, that's true. No, it hasn't happened. I mean, I've used it sometimes for a full day, and it's not a problem. Yeah, it's all really right. strange well, when you let's... take it off, and you're back in the real world. It feels really strange. Yeah. Like that's the only thing.
It does.
Yeah, well, you've taken away part of your reality when you do that.
Yeah, exactly.
Speaking of taking away part of our reality, next story.
Okay.
iMore, the one of the Apple focus websites that's been around for 15 years. They just shut down.
I'm so like, sad.
Yeah, and it was one of those things where it wasn't even like an announcement saying, hey, we're going to cycle things down. Just 2 days ago, a post went up that said, and one more thing, goodbye from iMore. And it was a nice article you know, about the history of the site and calling out the people that have been such an important part of what iMore does over the years, and then saying, and that's it, this is the last story, and so long, thanks for all the fish.
Notably
it was I was seeing on Instagram Serenity Caldwell had a real nice note that she now works for Apple. I mean, she started work and built her career working for iMore, and then of course Renee Ritchie.
I mean, and exactly. Wasn't there a different name before iMore? I think it was like the iPhone blog or something.
It had two names.
Okay.
And hold on, it's in the article, both the previous names.
Yep.
And I'm scanning through. Okay. So Phone Different, that was what it was originally called.
Yeah.
And then it became the iPhone blog.
Right.
And then after that, it was renamed to iMore.
Yeah, no, I think they had they've shortened it to Tippy or something, and then they renamed, because that was a stupid name, they changed it to iMore. I remember that.
It was all part of the consolidation, and the Future PLC bought them and Anatech, and then they're gone now too.
Oh, it's true. Yeah.
And Anatech they just shut that down in, last month. So it just the consolidations of all these sites. And I'm surprised because, I mean, well, we know Apple-centric sites can tend to be, you know, challenged. But you have the big ones like 9to5 Mac and Mac Rumors that are probably the mainstays in this world. But
it's a surprise that they survived this long, to be honest.
Yeah, it's a...
It is a hard space to be in. It used to be that this was a career. Like, okay, when I got into the Apple News coverage as a job, that's when I was hired by the Mac Observer as their morning editor. And back then, I mean, this was a career.
Right.
And then I became managing editor, and it's, okay, natural progression of a career. And so I was in during what I'll call the golden days, the glory days.
Yeah, you could call that.
But then there was this big change, and it was the big publications, like the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal. Yeah. They realized that this whole technology space, they were not addressing that.
Yeah, and also to some extent, I mean, that coincided with the whole move to like online publications, which, I mean, the technology, the Apple technology space was like very early in that. But then everybody did it, and that kind of also changed the game.
So part of that big change was advertising dollars, which is how all this stuff gets funded, really. Those advertising dollars went away from the
small sites,
Apple specific blogs.
Yeah. Yeah, rather small sites. I mean, Apple was a niche
to
back
the big
then.
Sites.
Yeah. And probably still is to some extent.
So, so that ad revenue started drying up.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched as as this went for so many of us from being a career to being just part of your income.
Yeah. I mean, even in
And
it's the same, like in the podcast space, like it's all the same, like it's the same thing. I mean, look at Maccast, for example, Adam, who used to be on the show, by the way. So, Adam, if you're listening, if you ever want to come on again,
Oh,
let us know.
Adam, yes, you're always welcome.
Yeah, you're always welcome.
Adam's always.
Yeah, he's awesome.
I think
Yeah,
we'll
but I
keep
mean,
Adam, keep him busy.
yeah, I know he's a Mac kneecap. But yeah, like same thing. I mean, he did that for forever, and then yeah, I mean, advertising started to die out, and I think one of many reasons why he stopped, and so many others have stopped.
And yeah, and yes, watching all of the various Apple news blogs that have dropped and just disappeared over time, I mean, it's harsh and it's sad. And now Imore's on that list.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, I'm not a big fan of some of the stuff Imore did. I liked it early days, but later on, they tried to play the same game as everybody else, like with like listicles and articles where they everything we know about the iPhone and is constantly updated, so they constantly are an SEO up there and all of that. I mean, I understand it, like that's the game that they have to play, but I really didn't like that. I think even on Deconstruct, we called them out a couple of times, which I never expected, but we had to.
But Patrice, I mean, that's kind of the problem. The technology has created part of the problem that there it's no longer, and this applies to everything. It's no longer just about reporting the news and providing the information. It's about gaming it all so that you get to the top of the search ranks and you figure out how to do that. And I think there are sites and shows out there that I'm not they don't necessarily ignore it, but it's not a top priority. It's like, it's put out
But
the good
usually small
information
sites,
and
like
but
Gruber,
usually
for
small
example, is
sites.
doing it, or 512 pixels or something like that.
Yes, those are great examples. And so, but it also feels like it was a validation and an evolution because it used to be technology was, kind of technology was viewed as gadgets. And that had a
For
negative
geeks.
connotation. Well, for geeks,
Yeah,
but just
gadgets
in
for geeks,
general,
which both had negative connotations.
Yeah. And so now gadgets are seen as,
Big business.
at least a very neutral term, maybe a positive term. Geeks are not seen as a negative term anymore by a large portion of the population. I think there's still some that do. So in some ways, it validated what things that we were all involved with very early on, but it also took some things away from us that we loved and enjoyed.
Absolutely. Yeah, but I mean, it's still sad to see that go because I mean, we kind of
It is.
lived with them for 15 years, went through all the iterations with them. They specifically also mentioned or in the blog post when they announced that they're shutting down AI, and they're saying like all this AI generated content or whatever out there, it's getting harder and harder to compete with that, with like real life people generated content.
Well,
Yeah,
Something like that. I'm
that's true.
paraphrasing. Like I didn't say it exactly
But
like that.
Dave.
I worry that that Imore is going to get just like what happened to Tua, and we'll get all those all that fake news that's now being generated, and that someone buys the domain, and then the same thing happens, and it's probably very possible.
Yeah, well, unless the parent company, which I just right now forgot the name.
A feature.
Thank you. Unless they have learned from the mistake that led to Tua getting bought, the domain name, that won't happen.
Yeah, but they don't want the expense. That's why they do it.
Yeah, well, yeah, and if they don't want the expense, it's well, okay. So it sounds like what's happening is that the website will stay online static.
Yeah, that's what he said.
So you can still reference articles. Their forums shut down in November, and so yeah, All right. So, yeah, Dave, you're right. The expense. How long before the company that owns the domain and the content decides it's not worth the money anymore? And then at that point, all right, so you shut down the site, but is it worth continuing to pay for the domain name so no one else takes it?
I mean, it's the same question everybody has. Everybody who bought a domain is always at some point, if you don't need it anymore, it's like, okay, when do I let it go? And for a big site, that's still different, but it's still the same question.
Right. And who shows up and says, so here's a big check that I want to write you because I want to buy imore.com. And then they're like, sure.
That's the other part.
And so two things. And I forgot the first one already. It's the same reason that you got to be careful when you are quitting some of the social media sites. That if somebody scoops up your name that you have been active on before, all of a sudden they can become you, and that's not a good thing.
And that's why I have not
Same.
deleted accounts for services that I don't use.
Yep, agreed.
Same.
Yep.
But I just for pure entertainment reasons, I popped up the Tuwaa.
So did
If I
I.
don't
Oh, don't do
I have not
that.
looked at this
Paul
since.
Terpstra.
Yeah, Paul Terpstra is
Paul
writing
Terpstra
everything.
is busy, busy, busy
Yeah,
on
Paul
Tuwaa.
Terpstra.
And I
In
mean,
fact,
it's
I was just trying to look to see. These are all articles that I was just looking at for the show yesterday. It probably was copied verbatim.
Yeah, I mean,
I think that it's just automated content scraping.
Yes.
Yeah, which I mean, that is just so crappy. I mean,
Disgusting.
yeah. So if you want to go once just to laugh at how ridiculous it is, and then never go again,
Don't ever go there again.
yeah.
Because it's just.
Yeah, well,
Sad.
I'm sad to see iMore go, and they were a very important part of our Apple News community, and I think all of us know at least one person that worked there, even if we only know them in passing. We, because of the community we're in, we have friends at iMore, and yeah, it's sad to see it go. And it's a loss to our community. So,
It is.
farewell, Imore. Sorry to see you go. Yeah, but what I'm not sorry about is TSO Hosts and the fact that they're here supporting us. And what they're doing is taking their strengths, which is web hosting, helping you buy domain names, providing bandwidth for content. They're taking all of that and they're saying, hey, British Tech Network, we love you. Here are the resources you need to do what you do, which is incredibly generous because it takes a lot to make all of this happen. And it's more than we would be able to manage financially on our own. And so they're just saying, hey, here's the bandwidth so you can live stream shows every week. Here's the hosting space you need. So there's a place for the BTN website. Here's the server storage space you need. So there's a place for all the show files so people can watch and listen to episodes anytime they want. And we really, really appreciate that generosity. So thank you, TSO Host, for being here and supporting us. And please, all of you, take a second. Hop on your favorite social media and let TSO hosts know that you appreciate them too. It's a small thing, but it's also a really big thing. It's small because it's so easy for you to do. It only takes a minute. But it's big because it lets TSO hosts know that we all really do appreciate what they're doing for the British Tech Network. So thank you again, TSO hosts. Hey, if by chance you have found a domain name that you think, oh, holy crap, I need to buy this. Like, how about let's get Chuck to buy a visionpro.com?
Oh, that's funny.
Great. Okay. Go to TSO Host because they offer good pricing. So go to TSO Host. They make it easy for you to grab that domain name, throw it in your cart, and then add the discount code BTN20, BTN20, and you're going to get 20% off that order. So not only do you get a domain name for a good price, you get it for a great price because you're a BTN family member, and you also get to buy a domain name that will make Chuck crinkle his brow like, what is wrong with you people? Like that.
If someone wants to buy that domain and post a page, then I'll get a GoFundMe thing going and you can help me buy the Vision Pro.
Didn't even think about that. GoFundMe. Huh. Hey, so people want to throw money at me so I can go buy a iPhone 16 Pro.
And a Vision Pro.
And a Vision Pro. Well, Vision, right? Because if I get an iPhone 16 Pro, I need a Vision Pro so that I can do all of the spatial video stuff.
You need to be then, in the full Pro the life. Experience. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. I'm not above taking people's money. I'm also not above saying, hey, Patrice, you did such an awesome job with updating our live stream and live chat. And thank you for that. Would you mind telling people about that awesome live chat?
Oh, of course. So we have a really, really cool live chat experience. We actually a live stream system. Like, that's the cool thing. We're streaming this live on our website. So if you want to join us and watch this, if you're not watching live right now, because then you already know about this, but if you're listening to this recorded and you want to join us, live.britishtechnetwork.com. That's where you go. Fridays, 4 p.m. UK time, wherever that is in the your part of the world, or whenever that is in the, your part of the world, you have to figure out. 4 p.m. UK time every Friday. And if you want to hear us talk about news in the non-Apple side of things, we talk about chip design, space, gaming, cars, you name it. Lego probably sometimes as well, if there's some technology involved, who knows. Then we have the big show on Thursdays, 7 p.m. UK time, so a little bit later in the day. And then, as I said, just head over to live.britishtechnetwork.com, and there's the live stream on the left and the chat on the right if you're on a Mac or Windows or whatever. It doesn't matter. Any device, iPad even will work. Even works on your phone. It's a little bit smaller. The chat is, I think, below it, but works the same. So that's how easy it is. If you like, it generates really funny names for you in the chat. But if you want, you can just go up top to the purple thing, say change name, and pick something else. Like, that's how easy that is. But let's say you are listening to us in the recorded forum and you want to see the links that we've posted, but you don't want to join the live stream, or the live stream is over. I mean, that happens. We do have a transcript for our chat on our website. So, and all you have to do for that is you head over to britishtechnetwork.com/chat. And then there is a very friendly long calendar list thingy that asks you to pick a date. And whatever date you pick between June 2nd, 2015 and today, for example, it will show you where there's something available and where there's not. Thursdays and Fridays, of course, are the best days for that because it's the days we stream. I think no other day will work or will show anything useful. But if you select, for example, today's date, September 27th, 2024, then you will see exactly what we talked about today during the show.
Awesome. Thank you. Hey, it is now time to do some cool things. So, who has the first cool thing?
Not me.
That would be Dave has the first cool thing. All right, so Dave, what are you spending Chuck's money on right now? Oh, you're muted, Dave.
So,
thank you,
on
Dave,
a mute
for
button?
Saving me money by staying.
Sorry. I don't know if he'll spend his money, but I like these cases. This is from a case company called Smartish. And they make really cool cases. This is the Grip Monk case, and it's got the clear with the black, but it's got various different colors. And you can go and have some fun colors with it. It has the black and the blue. It has the black edging with clear, full clear. Real good quality. I've had these cases before, and super simple. It's got a microfiber lining, and very very protective. Just order these because when you get new iPhones, you always end up buying a lot of cases. So this one's really cheap. It's like $19.99 US, and then there's a 5% coupon. So and they're real good quality. So and check them out. And there are other models too, but this is one kind of caught my eye, and I'm gonna try them on. I bought two different styles, and this year I decided I'm just gonna change out cases from the time to time and have fun with it.
All right, very cool. And Chuck, I can't wait to hear what you think about the case.
I like it. It looks good. I'm
No, I mean when
especially
you buy it.
oh, when I oh well, I thought you were. I said what I like. What I'll say this: what I like about it is the air cushion corners, because that seems to always be what you drop on, and that's where you need the maximum protection. I'm just not a case guy. I find there was a time it seemed like the different features were going into different cases and they were adding value. And there's still some out there, depending on your needs. But for the most part, I buy one case and I stick with it until something better comes along that gives me a specific feature. So for right now, I'm set. But this would definitely look like one that would be worth looking at.
I agree. I like how this one looks. Okay, awesome pick. And Chuck, you're up next. And I want to point out you are not spending my money because I already have a one of these. It's just a different brand. It's actually probably the exact same thing, just with a different company's name silkscreened on it. But tell us
Oh,
about your thing.
darn. I was hoping I could hit you this time. My pick is, I believe it's pronounced Pegaso,
Holy crap, that's a coupon.
15.6-inch portable monitor, 1080p, USB-C, and HDMI. I have one of these. In fact, I just finished a business trip where I took it with me. It is a piece of cake to set up. You just plug it in, and it acts like a monitor. It is the quality. I mean, look, it's not going to be maybe what you expect from a Dell, or certainly not from Apple. But as a secondary monitor that is portable and cheap, and when I say cheap, I mean in the good sense. Right now, this is $99 with a $45 coupon on Amazon.
Jeez,
You
that is
can't
insane.
beat it.
Yeah, if I hadn't already purchased something a while ago, I would be dropping money on this right now with that $45 coupon. Holy crap.
Yeah, I mean it, and I have to say that if you are someone who has not experienced a second monitor, have had a second monitor experience, this is a great way to do it and find out if it's for you. And I don't mean for travel, but I just mean stick it on your desk because it is plenty good enough to do that. It's in fact I've considered it adding it to some of my secondary machines here as another monitor. It is just that good. And for what is that, $55,
55 bucks.
I mean, that's why wouldn't you, with the option to take it with you? It comes with the HDMI cable. It comes with the USB-C cable to connect it. Of course, they're standard. There's nothing extra special about it. It does come with a power adapter that you need, but that too is USB-C. So it just is a great monitor for a
Nice.
great price. And look, you can look around Amazon and you're going to find the ones for 4K that are higher priced. I can't speak to those because that's not what I bought this for. I bought this strictly as a secondary monitor that I could put extra windows on or just move windows off when I'm not using them, because behind me I've got a crazy number of monitors. That's my home setup. And on the road, I really have found that I feel cramped. Having this option will make me take a good hard look at a 13-inch MacBook Pro the next time I'm in the market for a new machine, because then I feel like I could always expand out on the road when I really need it, and save that weight and all. So there are a lot of different use cases or reasons to buy this. Maybe the $45 coupon might be the best one.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
I have a 13-inch M2 MacBook Pro, and I have Well, my same thing, but mine's from like KYY, I think is, I don't know, some rando name.
Yeah, you know, they usually anyway use a random name generator and then.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
That's it.
And this thing has been great when I'm working away from my desk.
Uh-huh.
So traveling, at a coffee shop, whatever. I have my 13-inch screen, and then I have this alongside it, and I don't feel like I'm cramped with my physical workspace or my desktop.
Jeff, I'll just disagree gently with one thing that you said. I think a lot of these things they do. I mean, they look like they're even using the same promo photos.
Oh, they do.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I found that. In not in the case of the monitors, this was the one I bought and I've been super happy with it. But in some cases, even though they're the same, the different companies, same photos, I order them and I get different products.
Interesting.
So,
mm-hmm.
You know, so that's
whatever
why
fell the
this
production
one.
Line in China that day, I guess.
Well, Patrice, you know, that's it. I don't know. All I can say is this one, I mean, look, we all know that in a lot of cases, the same things come out of some for the higher brands, some for the lower brands.
Yeah.
They come out of the same factory.
Mm.
That may
doesn't
be the case
mean anything.
Here. But it does not mean anything. Yeah. It means that, you know, so I can give you experience on this one. Jeff can give you experience on his, but you know, I would say don't just go and necessarily seek out and find the lowest one that you can find.
Mm-hmm.
Take some advice.
That's excellent advice. All right, so you saved me spending money, and I don't have an iPhone 16 yet.
Yep.
So Dave, you didn't spend my money. Patrice, now it's your turn.
I'm not going to spend your money either because my cool thing is screen protectors from Spigen. So as we talked about the Spigen cases, I always put screen protectors on my phone for the reason that I throw my phone in purses and there's stuff lying around or whatever, and I have had scratches in the past on the screen. And the screen mm-hmm. protector is, I mean, you don't notice it at all, and it's super easy to, like, if it breaks, not a problem, remove it. It even, like, the Spigen ones come in two packs. So if you mess up the installation last time on the 15 Pro for some reason, I needed three. The first two I completely messed up. My fault, because it's super easy to do, but I always didn't notice some speck of dust somewhere and then had to redo it. So that was mm-hmm. my fault. It wasn't the fault of the protector. This year, for some reason, I did it on the first try perfectly, so who knows. But those are the two I got. One for the 16 Pro, that's the Glass TR Easy Fit. And as I said, they always come in two packs. So if you mess it up, whatever, you don't have to reorder it. There's like literally a second one. Or if it breaks at some point, you can literally just apply the second one. What I really like about the Spigen ones is, this here even, this is the phone one. It came with a little thing that you can put the phone on, a little like foam thingy that you can put the phone on. So it's not on your table. I think it's also because the camera, you see this, there's a little cutout here where the camera would be, because otherwise it would wobble on a desk. So I think that's also why they put it. They put the little foam thingy to get the air bubbles out in there. So that's quite nice. But it comes always with like a tray like that. And you literally just plop that on top of the phone, like clean the display, whatever. And they give you everything. They give you video instructions, all of it. Like you get everything you need. Plop that on there. There's no alignment, whatever issues. You put it on there. It aligns perfectly. 30 seconds, done. Maybe some air bubble if you have one. Squeegee it out. That's it. And this year I did it for the first time also with the Apple Watch. Because I've had the same problem. Like, the Apple Watch is in your arm. I have ADHD and I'm clumsy and I just bang into things all the time. So, and then I have scratches on the screen, and that's when you're reselling it, not the best idea. So the screen protectors are cheap. So I bought one. It also comes with a little tray where you put the Apple Watch in, like looks like that. And then like this is kind of it's actually a wet installation. So the protector is on a film of water, and then you basically push that out so that it's perfectly set. You cannot, I mean, you can feel it if you go over the border of the Apple Watch. You can feel there is a screen protector. You cannot tell if you're looking at it or using it. They're
Oh, nice.
on the phone and also on the watch, they're invisible, basically. Like, I mean, if you really cook really closely, you could probably tell. But as I said, the only way you can tell on the Apple Watch is if you go from the side over, and then there's a little tiny little thing where the thing is, which just makes sense because it has to sit on top of the glass. So, but that's it. So it is super easy to install. And there's a second one in there as well. So if I needed one, yeah, comes with everything. Like, there's literally nothing else. You pay whatever you pay for it, and then you get that. So highly recommend that. Like, cheaper than replacing your display.
A lot cheaper. Yep.
Cheaper and less
Cool.
stressful.
All right. So no one has spent my money today.
Well,
And.
unless you want to get a screen protector, because they can't. Wait, this is for the 10 and the 16 Pro and whatever. You can get that for any Apple Watch, any also older phone models. Also a bunch of other phones if you don't have an Apple device. Like, just saying.
All right. Well, now I have to think about that because how long am I going to keep this Apple Watch? And what happens to my iPhone 12 Pro when I get a 16 Pro? All right. Well, there's a possibility that some money may have been spent.
Good thing is not super expensive, so.
Not super expensive. All right. So I believe I'm not spending any of your money because this is because you already have Disney Plus. My pick this week is the new Marvel series Agatha All Along.
Okay,
It
you might have
is,
spent
I
my
think,
money.
wonderfully fun. So there are three episodes out now. It started last week, so they dropped the first two episodes. Then this week, third episode came out, and I think it's just a wonderfully fun series. It's silly at times, and you can feel that there are real stakes for Agatha's journey, and yeah, it's a lot of fun. Catherine Hahn is fantastic.
Yes.
There's a scene in one of the episodes that has been like all over the news, so there's a nude scene in this, and so it might actually be the first nude scene in a Marvel movie. I'm not sure, or a Marvel movie or series. I'm not sure, but. If it's not the first, then it has to be the second.
How much
And
did you
but
get for doing it, Jeff?
not enough.
A month free
But
on Disney Plus, I guess.
yeah, but you know, I'm young and need the money, so
okay.
you do what you have to do. But I think it's a wonderfully fun series, and I've seen people bagging on it, and there's a trend in the people that I see bagging on it, and it's the guys that want to have their testosterone superhero fight shows, and this is a series about a woman. The main characters are almost all women, and there's diversity in the cast,
Very much
and
so.
these are all strong characters. And that's
Really
a
cool
problem for a
singing.
lot of. Yeah. Oh my God, there's singing that happens in this. Yep. And there
Love
are
it
some
already.
guys that do not like the idea of strong women characters and women leads. And but I think it's an absolutely delightful series.
Crap. Now I have to subscribe to Disney Plus because I've been pushing it off. I was like, oh, do I really need it? Another service? And I think you just cost me
Well,
money.
you know what you could do is wait for this to the
Yeah.
season to finish,
There's so many
then
other
get
shows I
it.
want to watch. That's the
That's true. All right,
problem.
so I'm going to make it even more tempting for you because in addition to Catherine Hahn, Deborah Jo Rupp, Patti LuPone, Aubrey Plaza, I could go on, but I just spent your money right there.
I think you did.
Yeah. So Agatha, all along, absolutely loving it, and I am looking forward to seeing where the series goes. I mean, especially after the end of episode three, which has something happens that I was not expecting at all. And I won't say what it was or even hint at what it was. Just when it happens, I'm like, oh, was not ready for that. So Agatha all along. All right. So with that, it is time for us to wrap up, and I will start by saying, holy crap, gang. Thank you for making my Friday morning just so absolutely delightful and fun. I am so happy that I got to spend it with the three of you. I'm seriously, you are all dear friends, and this is an absolute treat for me. I do not take what's happening here for granted. So with that, Patrice, where can people find you?
Well, I'm here almost every week on the Big Show and on the Mech Show, except for next week because I'm traveling again to Portugal, to Lisbon, as always. You can find everything I'm doing on my website, thepatrice.com, like all the projects, the podcast, the social media links, literally everything I'm doing. And I have, and I keep repeating that, a really cool and really exciting new podcast with the person you might have heard of named Jeff Gamet, like, that guy. And we are
No.
like, we're rewatching old school retro TV shows and retro from our perspective, rewatching Stargate SG-1. Jeff has never seen it before, and it's one of my favorite shows, and I have watched it, I don't know how many times, but I think over the 27 years, probably like 30, 40, 50 times. I really enjoy it. I think in some cases it's better than Star Trek, and I love Star Trek. And yeah, we're having a really great time, and we posted yesterday episode 10, which, was an interesting one. Just like, yeah, it's as I said, it's the Torment of Tantalus. We learned a lot of really cool things in that one. And if you want to listen to it, head over to retrorewatch.com or point it in your podcast player of choice to that because you will find it.
That was a fun episode to record.
It was.
And I'm glad you're doing the show.
Me too.
Hey, Chuck, where can people find you?
Find me at macvoices.com. That's where we have lots of interesting conversations, including ones on Mac Voices Live with everybody here, Patrice included, when she wants to stay up late, Tuesday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. Let's see, what else is there? Well, we have a new blog. Well, we have a new website that it now includes a new blog, something that I've tried in the past and failed at. And this
Very
time,
cool.
I'm committed to getting it. Having it work, and I think it will because it's on the same website, so it's never out of sight, out of mind. It's always there. So check that out, as well as the regular interviews and videos and audios. And on all the social medias, you can find me as at Chuck Joyner. And Patrice, congratulations, you spent my money because I did not know the Spigen screen protector was out, and so it's now on its way to me
Good. Very
because
nice.
I'm like you. I firmly believe in just spending that little bit of money to protect these devices, you get so much more, I mean, you get your trade-in value
Easy.
out of it.
Easy.
So that's important. So thank you.
Nice, nice. All right, Dave, where can people find you?
You find me at intouchableiOS, intouchableiOS.com. My YouTube channel is youtube.com/intouchableiOS. I am on Mac Voices Live on Tuesday nights. I'm here on Fridays, occasionally on the Big Show, which I was on this week. And you can also find me on Mastodon. It's at DaveG65 and Mastodon.com.
Awesome. All right. Then, hey, you're doing a thing tomorrow. What is that?
Oh, yes. I should mention that. Jeff and I both are speaking at the Suburban Chicago Apple Users Mac User Group. We're going to be talking about the iPhone 16 and iOS 18. Should be fun.
I agree. It should be lots of fun. Good luck keeping me on leash. But you already know.
Not
that.
A chance.
Wait, I thought we're tag teaming it.
Not a chance.
All right. So then for me, Jay Gamut on social media, Mastodon and Instagram. That's where I'm posting most of my stuff right now. Then for shows, most Tuesdays on Chuck's Mac Voices Live. Why do I have this problem? What is wrong with me?
We look so much alike, Dave.
Yeah, must be that, that must be it.
I seriously, what is wrong with me? You know, you'd think that I'm doing that as a shtick, but no, I'm just an idiot.
It's just yeah.
All right, Chuck Joyner's Mac Voices Live on Tuesdays. Dave Ginsburg's In Touch with iOS on Thursdays. Oh, holy forking shirt balls. It's not that tough. And yet here I am. Okay. Then British Tech Network, Thursday for the big show, Friday for the Mac show. Brian Chaffin and I do The Context Machine. And as Patrice pointed out, we are doing Retro Rewatch. And despite the fact that I apparently can't keep names, faces, and shows straight, I do have so much fun hanging out with all of you on all the different shows that we end up doing together. So thank you for being part of my life. All right. So as long as I'm saying thank you, hey, all of you that watch and listen live, participate in the live chat, thank you for being here. You are all absolutely awesome. And if you watch or listen to the recordings later on, hey, thank you for being part of the BTN family as well. And speaking of that family, hey, Ewan, thank you for being you. Muller, thank you for making sure we have people for shows. And TSO host, thank you for being here and supporting us. So now, everyone, don't forget to come and join us next Thursday for the big show. And then come back again on Friday for the Mac show. And all of you, have an awesome weekend.